Hare Krishna. So, today we have a very special speaker with us. His grace, Dheer Shanta Prabhu. Very good. Just a brief introduction about Dheer Shanta Prabhu. He joined ISKCON in London and got initiation from Srila Prabhupada in 1972. And then he had the mission of Prabhupada, especially in India and Europe. And he was very instrumental in establishing centers in Sweden and Finland. And Prabhuji was the first foreign disciple to come in India. He traveled along with Prabhupada to Mayapur, Vrindavan and Bombay. And he specialized in giving presentations to school and college, school children and college children on Hinduism. So he has been giving the seminars in Scandinavian countries. And we are very fortunate to have his association with him today. So Prabhuji, aaj humare beech mein hai, Dheer Shanta Prabhu.
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 55. Sri Narada Vacha, Evam Pralopya Manopi, Vae Loka Pralobanhai. Kantitva Bhagavate Naichata Asuratmanaha. Report by Srila Prabhupada. Pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj did not aspire for any material benediction at any stage of devotional service. When the Lord was present before Dhruva Maharaj, Dhruva did not want to take any material benefits from the Lord. Swamin kartarto smi varam na yache. As a pure devotee, he could not ask the Lord for any material benefit. In this regard, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadish Akamae Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhaktir Avetaki Twahi. O my Lord Jagadish, I do not pray for benedictions by which to achieve material wealth, popularity, or beauty. My only desire is to serve you. Kindly engage me in the service of the servant of your servant. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the seventh canto, ninth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Prahlad Pacifies Lord Nrisimhadev with prayers. Omagyatunasyajnananjanasavakaya Chaksurambilitam yena tasvai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam Stapitam yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vanchakal Pajubhyascha Kripasya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu this verse, we're trying to understand the perfection of Bhakti Yoga, which is to come to the stage where no matter what may happen to me, or no matter what benedictions are available. I am simply interested in only one thing, and that is the mercy of the Lord in the form of pure devotional service. There is nothing wrong with prayers and asking for benedictions, but the question is, in what form or what mood or intentions we have in our prayers. Krishna has a plan and justice for everyone. And therefore, whatever comes our way, we accept that. There's a nice story. Actually, it's not Shastric, as far as I know, but the essence of the story is very meaningful. And sometimes the devotees down in Krishna Balaram Mandir, they do a drama, this story. There was a temple which was being visited by many hundreds of people every day. And in that temple there was a simple devotee who suddenly became concerned that Krishna, he is receiving all these visitors. Perhaps he's a little bit tired and I should help him out. So that evening, when the temple was about to be locked up, the deities were being put to rest, this devotee approached Krishna and he said, just innocently, he wasn't expecting anything. He said, just, Krishna, I just noticed how much you're working every day. Perhaps you would like one day off, one day rest. Is there something I can do to help you? So to his surprise, Krishna suddenly said, well, that sounds like a good idea. Why don't you come early tomorrow and I'll dress you up just like me and you can be Krishna for one day. So the devotee came early, and Krishna really is expert in artistic qualities. He dressed this devotee up just perfectly like Krishna. And he said to the devotee, I'm letting you do this on one condition. You don't say anything to anyone. You just smile and play the flute. So the devotee agreed. And Krishna went off for the day, on the holiday. The first darshan was one materialistic man. He was coming before the deity with folded hands. He said, my dear Lord, I'm going to give you a large donation. There's more where this money comes from, and I will see that if you arrange nicely my business, then I will see that you get a bigger donation next time. So he took his wallet, and half the money in his wallet he placed in the donation box. And then he walked out. But he forgot his wallet on the side of the altar. And Krishna saw it, Krishna the devotee. And he went, Uh, He wanted to tell him he left his wallet, but he realized that he should not say anything. So he kept quiet. The next person that came to the temple was a wonderful devotee. He was very simple, and he only had a few paisa to give. He was not very wealthy. He was very simple and quite poor. And he prayed to the Lord, "My dear Lord, I have come today to ask one favor from you. My heart's desire is that you give me pure devotional service at your lotus feet. I'm sorry that I only have this much to give you, but I would also like to offer you much more in the form of bhoga in my home. But I don't have very much money. I am not asking you for money for myself, but if you want to give a little to me, I will use that in your worship. I will make nice preparations for you, if you so desire. But my main purpose is I want to ask you for pure devotional service." And when he finished his prayers, he opened his eyes and he saw the wallet right there. And he said, "Oh, thank you, Krishna." He looked in and he saw the money and he said, "Okay, I will use this in your service. Thank you so much." And he walked out of the temple. And as he was walking out, Krishna, again, he wanted to tell him, "No, I did not give you this money." But then he realized he couldn't say anything. He remembered again. And the third person that came was a sailor. He prayed to the Lord. He said, "My dear Lord, I'm going on a journey tomorrow. It's a long journey on the ocean with my fellow sea colleagues. I'm asking you to give me protection. Give me your protection. This is a long journey and I really, of bodies of water, you say in the Bhagavad Gita, bodies of water, you are the ocean. So this ocean is very powerful, but you are the body of that ocean, so please give me your protection." And as he finished his prayer, suddenly the rich man came back with two policemen. He saw that the wallet was gone. And he said to the policeman, "It must be him. He must have taken the money. Arrest him." So this sailor suddenly was being held by the police on both arms, ready to be arrested. And he was accused. He had stolen some money. And the sailor looked at Krishna and he said, "Krishna, what is this? You know, I have never stolen any money in my whole life. I came to you for protection and now I'm getting arrested. What is this?" So Krishna the devotee, he was so disturbed within his mind and heart what was going on in the temple. He was thinking, now if Krishna was here himself, he would definitely intervene. So that was it for him. He had to say something. And suddenly he said, "No, it wasn't he who stole the money. It was my devotee who innocently took it to buy bhoga for making some nice foodstuffs." So then they let the sailor free. The sailor said, "Thank you, Krishna, you're so kind." And he walked out. And then the others walked out too, the rich man with the two policemen going looking for the devotee. So that evening when Krishna returned, he asked his devotees, "So how was your day?" And he said, "Well, one thing is for sure, I don't want to be Krishna anymore. Your day seems to be full of what's the word? Huh? Contradictions and anyway, the service that you gave me was very hard, and I'm really glad you're back. But I did one good thing, if I may like to tell you." So he told him about this, what I just explained. And Krishna was very upset. He said, "What have you done? Did I not tell you not to say anything and just play the flute and smile?" But Krishna, this was not a normal situation. It was not fair. I had to make things right. It was imperative that I did this. And Krishna said, "No, what you've actually done is you've created a great inconvenience for all those concerned. Because I have a plan of justice for each one of them, and now it has been destroyed. But please, Krishna, explain, what did I do wrong?" So then Krishna explained. He said, "The rich man stole all the money that he donated to me. All the money in his wallet was stolen money. He only gave half of the money, so I wanted to take the other half to reduce his karmic reaction for stealing. Give it to my devotee so it could be used in my service. And my devotee could then also be satisfied by giving me some preparations that he so desires to give me. As far as the sailor, he came and asked for protection. Tonight, the boat that he's leaving on, it will perish, and everyone on board will die. I wanted him to be arrested for one day so that he would not go on this journey. And this way, I give my protection. So I like the story. As I say, even though it may not be Shastric, it is a story which makes it clear in our minds and hearts that whatever happens to us in our life is meant to be. And although many people, especially here in India, go running to the demigods and ask for something, usually, of course, it's something material. There was one Indian man who asked Prabhupada, he said, "Can you not worship Shiva without trying to obtain some material benedictions?" And Prabhupada's reply was, "Generally, if you go to a Shiva temple, everyone knows why you're going." He pointed out that the difference between worshipping the demigods and worshipping Krishna is the demigods give you what you want, whereas Krishna only gives you what you need. Demigods give you what you want, and Krishna gives you what you need. So it's a very common in the West that we have difficulties to give up impersonalism and voidism. But in India, the biggest problem for you being surrendered to the lotus feet of Krishna is this impressions of the past of demigod worship. Correct or not?
Arriba.
Arriba.
You had all the deities on the altar to make sure that you got it right. When I was in Bombay in the early days, we only had a small shack temple. It was just corrugated roof. There was no sides, no walls. The deity had their little small box enclosure. This was before the big temple. So it was a very simple arrangement we had. And the frustrated Hindus who would come to our temple, they would challenge us. They would challenge us. Because they calculated, wow, they're worshipping Krishna, but it doesn't even give them a good temple. This is not even a temple. Even the Hanuman temple next door is more opulent than this. So this was in their mindset, opulence. Why should I serve Krishna? So they were challenged like this. Why Krishna? Why this Krishna, Krishna, Krishna? Why not Durga? Why not Shiva? Why not Ganesh? Why not Parvati? Durga. So in those days, mostly the persons who gave class was Swamis. So the Swami would have to react to that sorry, I get carried away with Hindi music. What was I saying? They would have to respond. I remember once Chidananda Swami, he responded very nicely. Why Krishna? Well, why not Krishna if all the gods are the same? Why not Krishna? No, you will not worship Krishna because Krishna is Hari. And Hari is the one that takes everything away from you. Prabhupada gave the example of his own life. He said, I tried to protect. He said, Krishna has 10 arms. North, south, east, west, northwest, southwest, northeast, southeast, up, down. He's got 10 arms, therefore he has 10 hands. He said, I try to protect my business and my family with my 2 hands, but Krishna took it away with his 10 arms, 10 hands. What could I do? He made me a beggar. I was loitering in the streets trying to preach. And when Krishna saw that I was sincere in my efforts to please him, then with his 10 arms, he gave everything and put in my 2 hands that I could not even hold. So sometimes we wonder why Prahlad Maharaj, many other devotees, they're born in demoniac families. Does anyone have an answer to that question? Why a sincere person like Prahlad Maharaj, he was born a pure devotee. Why was he born in a demoniac family? Anyone can answer? No? Nothing? Vishwanath Chakravarti points out that it's only a sunset, or evening, does the sun look beautiful. You don't look at the sun during the day, but you look at the sun at sunset, when there's a little bit of darkness. You light candles, if you light a candle midday, it is not so beautiful as when you light a candle at night. When you're hungry, you then appreciate taking prasad. Sometimes in temples, as a Prabhupada disciple, sometimes it's not just one person wants to give me prasad, but 10 people want to give me prasad, especially in Russia. Sometimes they give me a plate with 12 preparations, and I'm supposed to eat all of this. And the problem is that if you don't eat some preparations, the person who cooks it gets upset because they think, oh, he didn't like this, that's why he didn't eat it. So here you are trying to eat as much as possible just to please the devotees around you. And after a few days you get, you know, overwhelmed with, you know, Bhagavat Prasad. You become one with the prasad. And for some reason you just cannot enjoy it anymore. You know? But did you know Janmashtami, we fast all day? We're reminded that it's the Lord's appearance day. But Prabhupada said fasting means feasting afterwards. So when we feast at midnight, you do that here? Huh? Yeah. Isn't it wonderful? Jai, prasad, ki jai. So he was giving these opposites. So in regards to the devotees like Prahlad, why are they born in demoniac families? Well, because it enhances, their qualities are already great. But when they're in amongst non-devotees, their qualities are even greater. In other words, Prahlad, he was put in such awkward difficulties by his father. You know, in the presence of his father, his greatness became even more. And especially because he could overcome those obstacles that were placed before him. So as devotees, we should not always want perfect, comfortable situations. I just came from Vrindavan I was traveling with Bhakti Chaitanya Swami on his parikram, Govardhan, Arshana, Nandagram, Vrindavan, 3 weeks. So I charged my spiritual batteries. So then I was thinking, where shall I go to preach? Now I'm so charged. And I was thinking of Delhi. Oh, Delhi is such a degraded place. In the early days, you could travel around Delhi, even in a scooter, and enjoy it. Because there were no cars on the road. There were some ambassador cars. Yeah? But there was hardly any movement on the road. So you enjoyed going from one end of Delhi to the next. Now, well, even if I'm in a car, I sit in the back seat because I can't watch. Sometimes I peep out of the window, but then I close my eyes again. What's going on here? If you have no faith in the Super Soul, just come to Delhi and watch the traffic. You'll have faith that there is a Super Soul. There's one car here and one car here and there's one car here. This car just goes past these two cars and it's just enough room. Like that. And I'm going, what? We would never do that in the UK. So, it's not easy to preach in Delhi. So why should I come here? Why should I bother traveling 45 to 1 hour, sometimes more, from temple to temple? Why? Because I want to be recognized by my spiritual master in Krishna. That if I have a choice, take the most difficult choice. Go somewhere and preach where you undergo some degree of tapasya. Prabhupada said that we should voluntarily accept some austerity in our everyday life of Krishna consciousness. But it's so nice anyway when you travel from one temple. The actual traveling is not nice, but when you arrive, when I arrived here this morning and took darshan, I was thinking, just see the oasis, an oasis within a desert. Because that's what Delhi is, it's just a desert. Dry piece of land. Everyone's trying to chew the chewed. But you can see they're not happy. The only persons who are happy are devotees. Because they see the illusion of this material world. And their concentration is the art of dying. The art of dying so that we can leave this world and go back home, back to Krishna. One time in Hyderabad, in one big pandal, Prabhupada was giving a class. And after the class, one Indian gentleman stood up to challenge. What about overpopulation? Prabhupada would answer that question usually only in one way. But this particular time he said something very interesting. What he would usually say is, I'm traveling all over the world and from my airport, airplane window, I look down and there's so much land that is inhabited. There's no such thing as overpopulation. It seems like it because you're cramming yourself into big, big cities and congesting the roads, making it congested and pollution, polluting the environment and suffering. That is why it is overpopulation. But this particular time he said something very, very different. He said, yes, he said, yes, there is overpopulation. There is overpopulation because no one is going back home, back to Godhead. He said, there's no upward mobility. The system is jammed up. This Krishna consciousness is giving the facility for going back home, back to Godhead. We want Punjabi Bagh to suddenly ascend to the spiritual world with everyone in it. So we have our book marathons for that purpose. We want everyone to be enlightened in Krishna consciousness. So they also see the actual meaning of the human form of life and not continue to stay within the material world, taking birth after birth. So let us accept this little inconvenience wherever we are in our service. Prahlad Maharaj accepted it. We can also learn from that. That means that to achieve perfection, we must accept whatever Krishna has provided, put in front of us. It may be hardships to perfection, but those very hardships make us strong. There's another story. There was a butterfly. He was wriggling around, trying to get out of his cocoon. And one man was watching. He was intrigued to watch to see how long it would take for this butterfly to get out of the cocoon. So the butterfly was moving around inside, you know, for quite some time, but then suddenly it stopped moving. And the man was thinking, oh, butterfly cannot get out. Maybe I should help the butterfly. So he got a pair of scissors and he cut the cocoon and let the butterfly out. And it was there on the floor. And he was waiting for the butterfly to fly off. He thought that he was doing a good service to the butterfly. But the butterfly never flew. In fact, it never flew throughout its life. It was crippled. He thought he was doing a good service. But nature's arrangement is that struggle within the cocoon is an ideal formula or situation for that butterfly to create a substance within the body that would then, I don't know how to explain it, some liquid to enter the wings of the butterfly, so that eventually there will be enough liquid, this liquid substance that nature has made, arranged for the butterfly to fly. So what the man did was stop the struggle. Why should he struggle? I will help. But that very struggle was necessary to inject that liquid within the wings so that it could eventually fly. So in the same way, Prahlad is a very good example of accepting the struggles to achieve perfection. That even though, in this verse it's explained, that even though he had an opportunity, because he had pleased the Lord, he had an opportunity to ask for anything he wanted, he declined any material assets and just accepted the mercy of the Lord in the form of devotional service. So, let us continue our service. We have every reason to complain. Sometimes devotees do like that. Of course, you may not do that here, I don't know. But there's some places in the world that are really, really difficult. And you could just start complaining. Oh, 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 oh. Poor me. Poor, poor me. Oh, ho, ho, ho. I'm just a brahmachari. I was giving a brahmachari class yesterday. And I was explaining to the brahmacharis, don't think that you're so insignificant because you're a brahmachari. You know, the modern day conditioning is that you should look at the film stars and the pop stars, all these famous people out there, and be like them. Then you'll be something of the world. Because they are the famous. They are the best examples of the world. That's what the materialists say. But according to our philosophy, the best personalities in the world are the brahmacharis. Did you know you were famous? Does it make you feel better? That you're not just some, you know, insignificant renunciant who people just look down on when they see you. Externally, that may be a fact, but from where Krishna's standing, he's seeing something different. When I said that to the brahmacharis yesterday in one temple, they realized that actually that's what they thought. They thought. They were thinking. They were young brahmacharis. They were thinking, oh, 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 I'm just a brahmachari. But actually they are the examples of the world. The examples of this country, this town, Delhi. So you should understand that actually when the congregation come to your temple, they're looking at you as an example for themselves. So don't welcome them. Horrible. You should raise your hands with a big smile. Haribo. Welcome to our temple. There was one brahmachari in Hyderabad last week. He had such a big smile. He even encouraged me. And I had just come from Vrindavan. When I saw him, he was just glowing. And I was thinking, wow, this is a real devotee. Just one moment's association with this devotee made me feel so appreciative of the brahmachari ashram. So, see what we have. Don't see what we don't have. See what we have and appreciate that and be grateful to what we have been given and who gave it. And let's try to also help those who don't have anything, but we have the key. We can unlock the key, the door to the storehouse of love of God. Give out your Bhagavad Gitas with gratitude and love within your heart. And then Krishna, he will send the right people to you so that they themselves will be enlivened in Krishna consciousness. So I will stop there. Thank you for listening. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Gaurantai ki, Itai Gaur Premanandiyo.
Jai.